Well, I want to bring up Bob and two of our board of director members who were able to stick around and be with us. Crawford, you just heard from, and Steve Sellers, who, Bob, I'll let you introduce Steve if you want to double down more than what I'm going to say right now. But Steve, Meg and I have had the pleasure of knowing them and being under their leadership in different ways, but he's the VP of the Americas and Oceania, but more recently has ended up serving on the global team right side by side with Steve Douglas. And I don't know what that official title is in that new transition, but grateful for you guys being here and sharing a little bit.
Thank you. So what's the official title?
Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Crew.
Wow. So that sounds like that's a lot.
Careful, Bob.
It is going very well. It's a great opportunity to serve and lead in the ministry.
Take us back, both of you, to really maybe more than 4 years ago when Dennis and Barbara started interacting with the board about transition. They had 70, their 70th year. Barbara likes to remind me, Dennis's 70th year. they had that set as kind of a marker, not because they felt they were lacking energy or vitality or passion, but because they felt like for a healthy transition to occur, this was God's time for that, and the board started to interact with them. Take us back to those early discussions. What do you remember about that?
Well, you know, just that. I mean, I think Dennis began to float the idea that, you know, they're heading toward this mark, and family life was very, very healthy and this kind of thing, but he wanted to make sure that it went off into the future, and, you know, I think as a board, we were sitting there at first going, oh, okay, and because of our great love and commitment to, obviously, the Rainies, but also to the ministry, and that got the ball rolling, and we began to pray, and just pray very seriously, and then enter into discussions as to, what does all this mean? I mean, how do we go about this? What do we do? Where's God's next leader? What's an orderly process? How do we steward the staff without disruption, and all these things, you know, we began to put into this big crock pot of transition and what all that means.
It was not a quick decision or discussion. No. As we said, it went on for years. Mm-hmm. In the process, we've looked at church transitions, ministry transitions. I think it's fair to say more often than not, they don't go well.
No, they don't.
And so to be intentional and deliberate, we wanted to make sure, you wanted to make sure as a board, that this went as smoothly as it could. Steve, you had been through a transition with crew leadership from a founder, mm-hmm. with Dr. Bright, and then Steve Douglas stepping in. Were there lessons from that transition that were brought to bear on how the family life transition happened?
Yes, and your analysis early on was accurate, that more often than not, they don't go well. It's very hard to transition from a founder to the next leader because the founder's imprint is so strong in the ministry that it's hard to make that transition. And it ultimately depends a lot on the founder. Mm-hmm. That what we saw in the transition in Crew from Steve Douglas, or from Bill Bright to Steve Douglas, was Bill's resolute desire to ensure that the ministry went forward to accomplish what God had called it to do, so that it wasn't about him, that it was about what God was doing in the ministry. And we saw that repeated with Dennis and Barbara, that's what they believed wasn't about them, it was about the ministry, and that God had his hand on the ministry, and what did they need to do to help make that work. And so often it comes down to, how does the founder do at passing the baton? They can't keep holding on and running. They have to really pass it and let go. And that's what we saw with Bill and Steve, and are seeing lived out with Dennis and Barbara, with Dave and Meg.
You know, that really is the elephant in the room when you talk about transitions that don't go well. Mm-hmm. That is the elephant in the room. Typically, not always, but typically has more to do with the founder or the person who's been there a long time has allowed the ministry to become their identity, and because of that, they can't let go, and they sabotage the whole deal. Well, Dennis was a model. Dennis Barber was a model of not letting that happen. And I think that, by the grace of God, that set the trajectory.
There's clearly a lot of, when you've poured in, as Dennis and Barber have for 42 years, there's a lot of emotional connection. There's a lot of passion. But I know the conversations that we had, we asked the question, does God intend for family life to be a one leader, one generation ministry? Or does he intend for it to move on? You think back 100 plus years, Billy Sunday was a guy whose name was a big name in evangelicalism 100 years ago. Most people don't know who that is today. Same time, Dwight Moody was a big name, and people today still know the legacy of the Moody Bible Institute and Moody Radio. So God intends for some ministries to last for a generation and for others to endure beyond. Did you as a board have that conversation about maybe God's purpose for family life is that it's here for as long as Dennis and Barbara are and then it transitions away? How did you process that?
I don't remember us having that specific conversation. I think we made the right assumption that there was so much more to be done and there was unfinished business with regard to where family life is and the impact that we could have, that needed to be stewarded. So it wasn't one of these assumptions, you know, although it's right, I think sometimes we think that everything needs to have continuity. Sometimes God's finished with something. But we didn't feel that way.
We didn't have a sense that that was true here. And I think part of that has to do with Dennis and Barbara looking about this for the future. Mm-hmm. And what Crawford referred and Karen referred to up here earlier about legacy, that it is God's decision of when he decides something is finished.
Right.
And that for us, we were entrusted as a board to figure out and listen to the Lord. What is it that you want to do here? What is your plan? What is it that we need to be trusting you with as we move forward? Yeah.
David mentioned that one of the things he wanted to make sure of as he entered into the process was that there were many candidates. There were a list of people. There were others who were talked about and considered. I know one of the challenges for a ministry like ours when you're going out and looking for an executive leader is to recruit somebody and say, oh, by the way, you're going to raise your own support for this role. Which is a recruiting challenge, but you were looking to make sure that core DNA from the ministry was embedded in the heart of whoever it was. Yes. Was going to step in. Talk about that a little bit.
I think that was one of the things that was most important to us as a board was to say, how do we ensure that what has been built, what the Lord has built to this point, the essence of that continues on? You know, it's going to always look different. Things will adjust and change in terms of delivery of program. Mm-hmm. But those all come out of a core DNA of commitment to the Word of God, a commitment to the family to see it do what was designed to do. And so we really started out with that as part of our core criteria. And in any, this isn't like just any job search where you go out and say, well, here's a list of criteria, let's match a person's competencies to the criteria and then pick them. You start off at first with a sense of we have to have a person where the highest issue is the issue of character, mm-hmm. that they have a walk with the Lord and a love for Jesus and a commitment to their own walk with the Lord and their marriage it's got to flow out of their character. Competency, can they do the job, mm-hmm. is important. The capacity, do they have enough gravitas to carry the weight of this? But ultimately what we were looking for and what it all came down to is we were about discovering not just character and competency and capacity, but calling.
Yes.
Who is it that God has put his hand on for this next season?
Yeah, and that is huge. That is huge because, the person has to have a sense that God placed me here because the devil's not sitting back in this lazy boy lounger while we gallivant across the universe and put families back together. This is intense warfare. And there is another piece here that outsiders looking in can't appreciate this, but I alluded to some of this with my remarks a few moments ago. Family life is wonderfully unique in the sense that gospel-centeredness is core to how we approach family. That's a big deal. Gospel-centeredness is core to how we approach family. So there could be a bunch of people that we could have bought in that have capacity, great managers, executive decisions, this kind of thing. But we're looking for someone not just passionate about family, but passionate about a gospel-centeredness that approaches family issues.
So unpack that a little bit, rather than just leaving it as a statement. What does that mean?
Well, it's really Great Commission. It is cause. It is winning, building, and sending. That we believe that the gospel is God's priority for every generation, for giving every man, woman, and child the opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. So if you have a happy home that is idyllic and all of this stuff, but no one's following Jesus, mm-hmm. that's not a good thing.
Right.
We're not successful at that. That's not how we measure success. How we measure success has to do with ultimately, at the end of the day, the transformation of lives, right, and Christ-likeness that's reflected in the family relationships.
Yeah, as I've interacted with folks, I've said, you can approach marriage from a behavior modification model that says, do these techniques, these tricks, your communication will be better, your romance will be better, your conflict resolution will be better, and that'll work for a while, and if you're really good, it can work for a lifetime. But to have people resolving conflict and having better communication on their way to hell is not what we're interested in as a ministry.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what we want is not a change in behavior. We want a change in heart and let behavior flow out of that change in heart.
Yeah.
That's really how the gospel speaks to all of this.
Yeah, and just one little salvo here. So that when we were interviewing various people, it's safe to say a lot of them, that was in their hearts, but it was a secondary concern.
Hmm.
And the thing with Dave and May was that was a primary passion.
Hmm.
The thing with Dennis and Barbara, that's a primary passion.
Right. So talk about the things. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What else, as you were going through this process, caused you as a board to say, we believe God's man for this job is David, God's couple is David and Meg? What were the things that stood out to you?
One of the things, part of it was the process, is we started off on our knees and saying, Lord, who is it that you're bringing to us? This whole thing has to be bathed in prayer and not just a board executive level search. This is a, Lord, we are seeking you, and what is it you want us to do? We brainstormed a list of people who would be possibilities. We narrowed that list down. We talked, we went out and interviewed as board members different individuals to gauge their level of interest or their level of match to what was going to be happening. And we just kept moving through a process, a very deliberate, trusting the Lord, doing the work to find out what it is. For me, when David and Meg became, Meg referred to this last night about when we asked them, would they be willing to be in the process, her joke was, well, you just need to come and live with us for a week and you wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
In reality, when I asked David and Meg to consider this, it turned out they happened to be in Orlando, and it was on my list from the board to contact them, to make the initial contact. And David was in for another meeting, and I found out about it. I thought, oh, this is great. I don't have to go up to New York to talk to them. He's here. I'll get an initial conversation. And so I called him and said, hey, can we talk today about something? And he goes, yeah, Meg's in town and she has the kids out at Disney. And I said, oh, wow, that's awesome. Meg's here. Can I get both of you together? And he goes, well, yeah, she's getting back about 7, or let us get the kids in bed. And can you come by our hotel room? And they have one of those like Homewood suites where you have a little living area in the off the bedroom. And so like 9 o'clock at night, I meet with David and Meg they had no idea what I was going to talk about. And I, sitting in this little living area of this hotel room, bring this up, and Meg's look on her face, her eyes were just like big as saucers, and she literally said at that moment,
if you'd been with me at Disney today, you wouldn't be asking me this. So one of the things, that is a reflection of, I think, one of the things that you saw last night, and that is authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely.
We weren't looking for the perfect leader, the perfect marriage. We were looking for real people who love Jesus and who are willing to lead out according to what God's put in their heart and lead into the future.
Yeah, if you're looking for the perfect leader, you'd still be looking for a long time, right? That's part of it.
Part of the deal, too, was it's a subjective sort of thing, getting back to the whole calling. Because I remember after you met with him, Steve Robinson, who's chairman of the board, myself, Karen and I were down vacationing with Steve and Diane and a place there in Naples. And so they flew down, and I'll never forget just sitting down meeting with them. And after the meeting, Steve and I were driving back to the condo, and we looked at each other and said, this is right. Mm. This is just so right. And I think that was a sense of all the board members. It was sort of an affirming piece. Leadership ability, off the chain, all of that kind of thing. But the sense of heart alignment was the thing that that captured us.
As you're interacting with Dennis and Barbara about their future, and you're still engaged with them around that and how that fits with family life, I guess as we just heard them say, they're kind of taking a Selah moment to just refresh, to rest and refocus. But certainly our hope is that their influence and their voice continues.
Absolutely.
And that can be a tricky thing for a founder leader to still have influence and voice with a new president in place. So how does that work going forward?
Well, let me just say, that cannot be orchestrated. You can't overplan that kind of thing. All of that comes out of season of life, where they are in this kind of thing. But I think the relationship has been wonderful between Robbins and Dennis and Barbara, and so we're standing back and just whatever level that they feel they can, you know, they add value and everything. And so after 40 years of running hard the way they've run, I think standing back and just thinking that thing through is just absolutely wonderful. But sky's the limit. He's going to be a cheerleader, ambassador, and all of that. So
yeah, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, the example with Bill and Steve and crew, is you have to hand off the baton and let it run. And then from a cheerleader for you, side, come alongside and give perspective. You have the opportunity to give input. Mm-hmm. But you understand that the mantle of God falls on the leader. And when the mantle moves, you need to let it move.
You got to adjust.
And Dennis and Barbara have done that.
And Bill Bright did that because the handoff to Steve Douglas happened before Bill's passing. Yep. And he stayed vitally involved.
Yes.
But he understood. He's now a man under authority rather than the man leading. He's got to come to his boss and say, here's what I'm thinking, and let his boss speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any concluding thoughts as we wrap up on the transition? Anything you feel like this group needs to know?
Well, the transition is not over because, you know, I think the 9 months in, and wonderful plans and things, that adjustments and all of that stuff. So I think, and I say this on behalf of the Robbins, I know they would say this in the board, just continue to pray that God will continue to show favor and fruitfulness and the necessary adjustments that need to be made. But we're really excited. Mm.
So. Yeah, and I would say the staff for doing this in family life, all of us on the board, all of us in this room, you know, continue to need to trust the Lord, believe the best, and give David and specifically, and David and Meg together, the opportunity to seek the Lord and to listen to him and to lead us where we need to go. Amen. It won't be exactly the same as what it was with Dennis and Barbara. The DNA, the essence will be there, but we're going to continue to look to how do we change the world one home at a time. Amen.
Well, and we'll talk tomorrow a little more about radio transition and how that is happening, but that's a part of this layered approach to the transition. Dennis is still involved. You're coming up in a few weeks to do radio with Dennis and me. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. You and Karen both are coming too.
I know it now.
Yeah. It's on your schedule.
Yes, it is.
I trust. And we're continuing to do that, and that transition will occur into the future. But that's part of the layering that's happening as we don't just rip the Band-Aid off, right. But we just slowly uncouple and make sure that the structure can hold the new weight, right. Before we put all the weight on it.
That's right? Well said. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you guys for sharing with us this morning.